Good morning and welcome back to the Better Living Radio program. My name is Peter Lewis and I'm pleased to be able to join you once again. Today we have a special guest. We'd like to welcome Brenda Watson from Vital Planet. She's been with us before. Brenda, we'd like to welcome you to the Better Living Radio program.
Thank you, Peter. I'm so happy to be here. What area are you in?
We are in beautiful Western Tennessee, Camden, Tennessee.
Well, as you can tell, Peter, I'm from the South. I'm from North Carolina.
Carolina.
But I'm in Florida today.
It's much more beautiful in Tennessee.
I know.
Yeah.
I actually still have a home in North Carolina. So.
That's nice. So, Ms. Brenda, for our listeners' sake, I know we have interviewed once before. Now, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself so they can know who they're listening to.
Okay, and if anyone ever wants to kind of look me up, they can go to brendawatson.com.
Great.
I got interested in natural health way a long time ago, back in the late 80s, and I had poor health from the time that I was a child, being born, you know, in the early 50s, and then the late 50s and early 60s, of course, was what I still call the antibiotic revolution.
Uh-huh.
And I had a lot of sore throats and ear infections and things like that. So back then, it was common to be given antibiotics, like candy.
Oh, wow.
Let's give them to them to make sure. So, however, what that did is that messed up my bacteria, what we call our gut balance, balance. And for me, I started having health challenges, probably starting in the first grade. I had migraine headaches.
Wow.
And so that went on most of my life in middle school or elementary school, whatever you want to call it, and into high school. I had chronic fatigue syndrome. And you know, Peter, I never associated any of that with my gut. And I went through a lot of still health challenges all through my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, toward the end of my 20s, I walked into a health food store one day and said, look, I am done with more or less what traditional medicine has to offer me.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to read and understand what about my body I need to start taking care of better. So within a time of changing my diet, doing cleansing programs, I didn't realize that, Peter, one of the reasons that I was so out of balance was constipation, because I just didn't know it. I didn't know that, you know, you needed to go to the bathroom more than twice a week. And so the problem started there. So once I began to educate myself and I got better through that, and that was in the late 80s into probably the 1990, I went back to school. I live in Florida and at that time, too, and I went back to school. And I started, because I got better. Now, I want to tell the audience here, I didn't get better like we expect to get better today from traditional medicine, like take a pill and you're better tomorrow. I did not expect that, and I was told not to expect that.
Okay.
So what happened is, through a period of time of changing my diet, changing my lifestyle, doing cleansing, and even then we didn't even know about probiotics back then. We called it acidophilus.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened is I got better over a period of time. And I was so enamored by, you know, natural health that I wanted to go back to school and become a nutritionist, and that's what I did. So I went back to school, went to nutrition school. In the state of Florida, actually, colonics and colon therapy are very legal. We're with the medical association here. And so I became educated in that. And once I got through my schooling, I did a mentorship with a lady who had been in natural health since the 70s. So I felt very blessed and lucky to be able to work with her for a couple of years in her clinic. Mm-hmm. And then in the early 90s, I began to open my own natural health clinics. and we did acupuncture, colonics, massage. We did the old-timey kind of steam cabinets with your head stuck out, you know.
I know, I know what that is.
Yeah, and so we did that, and then, you know, all the different. And then I was very fortunate, too, at the time, to be able to work with medical doctors.
Yeah.
Medical doctors who basically were transitioning into what we call now integrative or, you know, natural medicine. And so I went to work with some of them in my clinics. And I opened 5 natural health clinics in the early 90s.
Wow.
So I really was just a practitioner. I really wasn't, you know, I wasn't out formulating products. But over time, I went back to school many times to study herbology. And also, due to the fact that mostly I worked in the clinics with people with gut problems, then I developed sort of a specialty, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And because that was my only issue, it's easy to have a specialty in which you've had that problem.
Right.
And you've been able to solve it. So in the early 90s, I had 5 natural health clinics, and I had been going back and forth to school many, many times. And then then what happened is I began to formulate products for my clinics, and then that was a transition in 1996 to putting cleanses and things on the health food store shelves and, you know, lecturing and things like that.
That's awesome. So if I may ask, in looking back at your path, what would you say is the number one thing that made a difference in your health when you stumbled upon it?
I think putting the focus on my gut and on my digestive system and the focus on the constipation issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about it, you know, your colon is your reservoir of bacteria, and it's porous, and by that I mean toxins can leak in through the bloodstream from the colon. And so from there, I really, you know, saw that the cleansing and then re-inoculating, what I call re-inoculating your gut with good bacteria, adding in more fiber, really focusing, Peter, on the gut, really focusing on, okay, what makes the gut healthy? Now, to kind of take this a bit further, in 2005, I did a show for PBS called The Hope Formula.
Okay.
And the Hope Formula was a formula, and it was, I used the word high fiber for the H, omega-3 oils for the O, probiotics for the P, and digestive enzymes or enzymes for the E, was called the Hope Formula. And that was sort of my formula, and I was also lucky enough to be able to work with a GI surgeon out of Gainesville, Florida. And he has always been the co-author of my books, written about 8 books now. And he was the co-author of my books, and he had been in integrative or natural medicine for many years himself. So if I could say the number one thing that I found that helped people was if they focused on getting their gut healthy and getting rid of leaky gut and getting the good bacteria levels high, then their overall health, whether or not they had things like, let's say, skin issues like eczema or psoriasis, or they had, you know, issues with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, all the things that I had, then they tended to get better if they got the gut healthy, because the gut is the center or the core of your health. And one of the names I coined was your gut protection system, your GPS. Think of a car radar, the GPS.
Yeah.
And so if your radar is in sync inside of your gut, you've got plenty of the good bacteria, then you have enough to start healing the rest of your body.
Wow, that's awesome. So I understand that the gut plays a role with the immune system. Let's talk about that.
Well, it's a good thing to talk about because we are in the immune system time of the world where kids are back in school and we're back in, you know, we're back being the subject of whatever they pick up at school, right?
That's right.
So if we look at immunity,
yeah,
okay? If we look at immunity in general, some of the things, and I have this list of 8 primary purposes of probiotics.
Yeah.
So if we look at, let's just take immunity, for example.
Okay.
If you have a virus or an organism, and by pathogenic, I mean could cause a disease in the body or could cause disruption
okay.
to the body. Mm-hmm. Number one on the primary purposes of probiotics is it protects pathogens. So let's say you take in a virus either through your nose or through your, you know, your mouth, and it mm-hmm. goes into the stomach. And ideally, if you have a lot of stomach acid, it could get killed there. It could be knocked off before it got into the small intestine.
Right.
However, many people are taking acid-blocking medications.
Okay.
And not just that. Many people decrease in acid as they get older.
Right.
So let's say this virus gets into your small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've got plenty of the good bacteria, then the bacteria will sense that there's a pathogenic organism in your small intestine, and it will go after that pathogenic organism like a virus and neutralize it and get rid of it. Now, let's say that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Virus is going to do is it's going to head toward the gut lining because it wants to get into the bloodstream.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if what your good bacteria do, your probiotics, lactobacillus and bifidobacteria, mm-hmm. if they line up on the surface space of your digestive lining, and mm-hmm. when the virus comes near that lining, they neutralize that virus so that it doesn't get into your bloodstream because that's what makes you sick.
Right.
Now, if that doesn't work, and you do have a condition we call leaky gut, and that virus enters your bloodstream, your good bacteria could, at that point, even though it's in the bloodstream, neutralize it at that point and get rid of it. So that's number one.
So wait a
number
second. Let's look at that again. So you're saying that if a virus enters a system and in the digestive tract, first, the probiotic will go after that guy,
mm-hmm.
try to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And if for some reason it evades the probiotic, then we have a second line of defense where the probiotic lines the intestinal wall.
Mm-hmm.
And to get into the bloodstream, it got to pass that barrier, and those probiotic will get that guy, neutralize it.
Right.
But for some reason, if that breaks down and the virus gets into the blood, you're saying that the probiotic can still go after it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
It produces a substance that will get that before it gets too far into the bloodstream, neutralize it, and get
okay.
rid of it. Yes. So there's 3 ways
mm-hmm.
that it works with that type of immunity, and that's where a pathogenic organism is getting in through either, like I said, the mouth or the nose or some other way.
Okay. Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah,
I never heard it that detailed, you know. No, I never knew that detailed. I knew the general, but that aspect, I didn't know the line of defense there.
Right. And then another way that it supports immunity, number 2 on my primary purposes is many people today, Peter, have food sensitivities.
Okay.
Not necessarily food allergies. You know, a food allergy is an immediate immune response. Like, people understand peanut allergy or those are allergies where you could have anaphylactic shock and, you know, those are immediate.
Yeah.
But so many people have food sensitivities. And so when they have food sensitivities, it doesn't affect them, especially when they're younger, because their immune system's strong and a lot of times fights it off. But what we see today, Peter, in the world, we see a lot of children with either milk allergy or wheat allergy or gluten allergy or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what number 2 that the probiotics do from that perspective is they strengthen that person's innate immunity and balance that immune response within their body. So let's say a person has a sensitivity to gluten, for example, what the probiotics do when you have plenty of the good bacteria is they help the body not react to that food sensitivity by creating eczema, is a big one, okay?
Okay.
A skin problem, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's say it produces diarrhea.
Okay.
That could be a problem with a food sensitivity, or even constipation. So you have this immune support with the probiotic on level two with your own body. See, we all have a footprint of good bacteria and bad bacteria.
Okay.
And one of the things that's very important, Peter, is the fact that if we have a lot of the good bacteria, then we can balance it. Let's say you're sensitive to gluten, but you eat it.
Yeah.
And you're reacting to it. Migraine headaches is another one that's a biggie with food sensitivities. So if you have a plenty of the good bacteria, it will fight off that food sensitivity reaction, okay, over a period of time. Not saying, Peter, that they won't react to it at some point.
Right.
Right.
So it will lessen the severity of it or eliminate it, but not completely, that it may come back. You may have a reaction at some point.
Right. The other thing is, it maintains the intestinal barrier. By that I mean the gut lining. We take in nutrients, amino acids and simple sugars, carbohydrates, and fats through the gut lining, and they have to be through digestion and through enzymes. They're made into small molecules.
Right.
So that they can pass into the bloodstream and create, nutrients for our cells and tissues and organs. Many people today, and Peter, I've been out on the road a lot, and I've been in health food stores, and I've been speaking to consumers.
Yeah.
Because they come in with their questions. And I did my first lecture on leaky gut in 1995.
Okay.
And so what I'm seeing today, in 2019, is I'm seeing the same thing I saw in 1995. I'm seeing a high, population having still the leaky gut. And so once they have the leaky gut, and the way to kind of explain this is your digestive lining, like I just said, should break down your protein, starches, and fats into tiny nutrients through digestive enzymes,
right.
They're allowed to pass through the gut lining.
Right.
However, if your gut lining is porous, meaning that, look at it like this, it's like the screen on the window of your house.
Yeah.
It lets air in because the screen is thin and it keeps the bugs out.
Right.
Okay? So if your gut lining is porous, it means it has holes in it. So the way that you create more food sensitivities and food allergies and things like that is the protein, starches, and fats are not broken down into small nutrients, Peter, and they pass through this large hole in your gut lining, enter your bloodstream, circulate around, and create problems. And here's the problem that we have here.
Yeah.
Most people do not associate probiotics unless they have a gut problem, like constipation, diarrhea, IBS, and those things. They don't look at their skin and say, oh, I've got psoriasis, I must have a gut problem. Or I've got arthritis, I must have a gut problem.
Right.
Or I've got cardiovascular disease, I must have a gut problem.
No, they certainly don't. They certainly don't look at those conditions and relate them to the gut.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
So the problem could be in the gut with the leaky gut. Not mentioning the causes per se, but just briefly, what would you say are the major contributor to leaky guts at this present time in our world?
The major contributing factors are antibiotics, Caesarean birth, and acid blocking medication, and too much ibuprofen, because that really rips the gut up, and people don't realize it. I mean, they take it like candy. But the biggest offender, the biggest offender is your antibiotics and your acid blocking or your proton pump inhibitors. Those are the two biggest offenders.
Okay. So it's not a matter of if they will do this. It's just a matter of time if a person is taking these, that leaky gut does result.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we are on number three with the leaky gut as it relates to probiotic. So you said, what for clarification, how does the probiotic benefit or to counteract the leaky gut situation again?
Okay, so what happens is, the reason that they think of looking down your mouth throughout your digestive system, and think about the ideal healthy person sheds and rebuilds the lining of the gut every 3 to 5 days. So in other words, they've got to make new cells to keep it, like I said, like the screen on the window of your house, semi-permeable.
Right.
Okay, so what happens is something starts the inflammation, whether it's the antibiotics, the proton pump inhibitors, and they destroy the good bacteria. And because they don't replace the good bacteria with probiotics, the probiotics would get on the surface space of the digestive system and begin the rebuilding of the cells so that the gut was semi-permeable again and not permeable.
Okay. I get you. I see. Now we understand.
Okay.
Yeah. So definitely, by replenishing the probiotic within the system, it will go a far way to help the body to repair the leaky gut situation.
Absolutely. And you know, what we've done here at Vital Planet is we've created something called Vital Flora, which is a probiotic that's actually revolutionary in the fact that it has not only the 60 billion cultures per capsule in the potency, but we have 60 strains. And that's a big deal.
Okay.
You don't see 60 strains in any product on the market.
Okay, and what is it that makes that 60 strain stand out from your regular probiotic? You get to your 12 strain and so on, 30 strain.
When the microbiologist started looking at Western people, actually there's two groups of people on the planet. One's in Africa, the Hadzas. I don't know if you've studied them.
No.
But they have a very high, what we call, the word is diversity, okay?
Okay.
So we used to think that we had only a couple of hundred strains.
Okay.
But what the microbiologist has found out, since the National Institutes of Health have funded all these universities and all these microbiologists, what we used to think was true is that there were hundreds of strains in our gut. And that only one strain was responsible for doing all these things that I have on these 8 primary purposes of probiotics, right? But now we know that all the strains do something different. Some help with immunity, some help with making B vitamins, some help with repairing leaky gut. And that all we needed was a single strain of each species for optimal health. Well, the microbiologist, because the microbiologist started going out and taking stool samples, and by the way, I've been doing stool analysis for 25 years, and I started noticing that people, their diversity, when I got the stool panel back, was very low.
Okay.
And so that's what the microbiologists were finding out, Peter, across the world. That we now know we have thousands of strains in our gut, not hundreds. Okay? Each species are genetically different. So they all do, they're good at certain things. Like, for example, one lactobacillus might be good at making B vitamins. One might be good at immunity. Another one might be good at fighting inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So we need all these different strains. And so what they found is they went out and they studied the Hadzas and the other
people group.
Group is in South America. I can't mm-hmm. remember their name. And they realized that these people had no IBD, they had no colon cancer, they had no hemorrhoids, they had none of these things because they had all these strains.
Mm.
So the microbiologists became very concerned about this, and now they started to put a lot of these bacteria that are disappearing into strain banks and freezing them.
Okay. And so the more strain a probiotic has, then I can see that it has a wider range of benefits to the person who consumed that probiotic.
Right. So the 60 strain. And by the way, Peter, this is hard to do. I mean, when I came back into the market last year, and at VitalPlanet, I came and said, look, I want to get a 60-strain probiotic. And we went back to the fermenters, and these are the people that grow out the bugs.
Yeah.
They just said that's not possible, you know, to get 60 strains. But we worked and we worked and we worked on it, and we have them. And now with the VitalFlora, we have, you know, we have, and they're listed. That we're very, very clear on our supplement panel facts.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very clear on, we're very clear on the 60 strains. We put them on there very clear. So they're all listed. And
mm-hmm.
that's the other thing that we're doing that a lot of other companies aren't doing, is we're listing the genus, which is the Lactobacillus. And then we're doing the species, which is the Acidophilus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing the strain. And
mm-hmm.
also we do it the same with the bifidobacteria, which is the main friendly bacteria in the colon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. That is good. Now, Brenda, have you or someone you know taken a probiotic that maybe has less strain, 12 strain or 20 strain, and compare with a person who took a much higher strain, maybe a 60 strain as yours is,
mm-hmm.
have you seen a noticeable difference?
Yes. And I'll tell you, let's just take one example, and that's constipation.
Okay.
I have noticed for myself that, like I said earlier, I gave you a little bit of my story and the fact that I got into this due to constipation.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I've been in this industry 30 years, I'm a nutritionist, I understand all this stuff. When we did a 60 strain, my 60 strain, which is the VitalFlora 55 plus, being adult 55 plus,
mm-hmm.
I take one of those capsules before bed, even though before I took the 10 strain, the 12 strain, the 14 strain, and I will tell you that I saw an amazing difference in my constipation. And I've got testimonials from people all over going, wow, I struggled with constipation my whole life, and after taking this particular 60 strain probiotic, I don't have it anymore. Now, it didn't happen overnight, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
It took
mm-hmm.
a week or two.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is taking it before bed, and then when they get up in the morning, they're having a bowel movement.
Mm. That is awesome. That is awesome. Now, I notice in the probiotic, your line of probiotic, you have probiotic for men, probiotic for women, probiotic for 55 and older, and so on. What difference is there in those products for men versus women, for example?
Well, it's different ratios of lactobacillus and bifido.
Okay.
So let's take a baby boomer like me.
Mm-hmm.
Bifidobacteria, which is the main friendly bacteria in the colon, diminishes with age.
Okay.
Just naturally with age. So with our 55 plus, we have more bifido than lacto. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
In the men's, we'll have more lacto than bifido. So it's just the way the formulas are done. that make mm-hmm. them a little different.
Okay. So which one can children take? Do you have one for children as well?
The best one for the children to take right now is the in the blue box, the Vital Flora Ultra Daily.
The Vital Flora Ultra Daily. Now, we are accustomed to think that more is better. And, you have the recommendation is one per day. And some of the other probiotics, you say, take two or three a day and so on.
I'll say, Peter, that's because they're doing serving size versus dosage, and that's deceptive. So, for example, if you see some companies, they might have 85 billion on the front, but that's for two capsules.
Yeah.
We are 60 billion with one capsule.
Oh, okay.
You have to read the label.
Okay, I get you.
And it can be very deceptive. So, mm-hmm. for example, and we guarantee potency to expiration of product, and we have a delayed-release capsule, which mm-hmm. means you can take it. The number one question in a health food store on probiotics is, when do I take it? Well, you take it whenever you want to, when you have a delayed-release capsule. You see what I mean?
Okay, mm-hmm. So it's going to release, what does that mean? It's going to release the content over a long period of time?
Yes, but it doesn't get killed in the stomach with acid.
Okay.
It releases in the small intestine. Yes.
So because it releases in the small intestine, for those capsules, it does not matter whether you take it with food or between meals?
No, it does not.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is wonderful. Okay, so we are on, so let's continue along this vein here. So the probiotic you've taken, a 60 strain, you notice a difference, a tremendous difference in health-wise. You get for men, for women, different ratio for children and so on. How long would a person need to take the probiotic? Is there any relationship to a person having taken antibiotic? Because that's when most people know for sure, even a little child know you take probiotic. Is there any relation with the length of antibiotic treatment to the length of time a person takes a probiotic?
Well, here's what they found in clinical studies. One round of a 7-day probiotic can disrupt the microflora in the gut up to 2 years.
Mm.
I call the probiotic the multivitamin for the gut. So, Peter, if you look at mm-hmm. the 8 primary purposes of probiotics, some of them I couldn't get into today, but making B vitamins, mm-hmm. making vitamin K, getting rid of heavy metals like mercury, lead, and cadmium, which we're subjected to every day. Mm-hmm. The reason I call it the multivitamin for the gut is you must take it every day.
Every day.
You need to take it. Yeah, you need to take them. It needs to be part of, like people take omega-3s every day. People take
right.
a multivitamin every day.
Right.
Part of a regimen of a prevention program, and especially people who have immune problems, let's say fibromyalgia, lupus, all of these other conditions, their microbial footprint is messed up, and just like mine from childhood. And so mm-hmm. what they've seen is they go back and do a stool analysis on someone who has stopped taking the probiotic, and eventually it can go back to the original footprint. And so that's why you want to keep taking it every day. It should be part of a prevention program as well as part of a person's program who has a compromised immune system.
Okay, that's interesting. So the lessening or the decrease in the probiotic colony in the gut occurs with age, with different activity, medication and so on, because it seemed like everybody need probiotic.
Well, yeah. I mean, how many people walking into a store taking ibuprofen or taking Tylenol. They're taking acid blocking. They're on some kind of medication. I mean, believe me, I just counseled 20 people in a store yesterday. And there's not one person that walked in there that wasn't on a variety of medications. Now I'm talking people in the baby boomer age and maybe people that are the millennials and those that aren't. But a lot of times, Peter, people think that they can drink a kombucha and that they're getting the amount of probiotic that they need to be healthy, and that's just not true.
Mm.
So we are subjected to toxins in the environment, and that's a big one.
Okay.
One of the things, Peter, that I have found over the years doing this 30 years is that's the hardest concept to get across to people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see toxins, right?
Right.
We're not seeing that we're breathing them in. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem of it is they're spraying our lawns. Mercury's being released in the air. And, you know, we've got in every area of our country, we have a different probably situation. There's mercury. I mean, there's chlorine in our water that we're drinking. I mean, there's just so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point being is part of a preventive program, if the gut is the core of your health and your GPS, your gut protection system, why would you not support that every day just like you would with a multivitamin?
You know, I'm being convinced that that is absolutely important because it's a part of your immune system.
Right.
And how you broke it down earlier made so much practical sense. It's just amazing. So now, of course, we won't have the time to go into all eight, but we are going to continue. If not now, we are going to continue on in them. But let's go to number four. We got a few more moments. Let's talk about number four. We talked about the virus protection against virus, the food sensitivity issue, the leaky gut issue. And so.
And then this is inflammation.
Inflammation, that's a big one.
Now, let me clarify this. There's acute inflammation where you cut your finger and it, you know, it heals.
Okay.
We're talking chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation are conditions like arthritis, cardiovascular. I mentioned some of them before.
Yeah.
Maybe fibromyalgia, maybe lupus,
mm-hmm.
Crohn's disease, inflammatory bowel disease, colitis, all of that. People don't typically think of a chronic inflammation until they have an incident.
Yeah.
So let's say they have a heart attack or they have, I can't tell you the people lately that are getting stents put in their heart. It's just crazy.
Mm.
They don't look at chronic inflammation. And here's why, Peter, because it develops slowly and they're not aware of it.
Mm.
Okay. So if you've got arthritis, you didn't wake up with arthritis one morning, Peter.
No.
That's been going on in your system for a very long time.
Absolutely.
And many times people end up in a health food store because they didn't feel pain. Then they end up at the doctor, and their options at a doctor, maybe pain medication, maybe anti-inflammatories, I don't know, whatever it is. And some of them look at that and go, wow, I don't really want to do that because that's not a long-term solution.
Right.
But the problem, Peter, is they didn't do prevention. They didn't do prevention. They didn't say, okay, am I a candidate? Do I have a history in my family of cardiovascular disease?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Am I going regularly and getting my arteries checked? Because the clogging of the arteries is chronic inflammation.
Yeah.
So number four, reducing chronic inflammation in the body is critical because who wants to end up later on in their life, in their baby boomer ages, in pain? Because we don't have solutions for it unless it's steroids or it's, you know, anti-inflammatories, like I said.
Yeah.
We don't have solutions for it that are good solutions.
Right, right. So, inflammation, if I understand it correctly, lies at the foundation of most health problems.
Right.
Okay. So now,
how
does probiotic help the body when it comes on to inflammation?
Well, whenever you get that the intestinal barrier, the leaky gut, healed, and no longer can inflammatory proteins get into your bloodstream and circulate throughout your body, causing chronic inflammation over time, then that is what reduces it. So everything builds, it's like the domino effect. Everything builds on something else. So if you get the intestinal barrier intact and semi-permeable, then the propensity for large molecules of undigested proteins or toxins or whatever else can get into your bloodstream, circulate around, and cause clogging of the arteries, then you have a less chance of developing the chronic inflammation.
That's true. So the probiotic is the first line of defense. So just as a side point, with the probiotic, what would you say is the number one other factor that a person would then be able to use to assist the body to get rid of the inflammation within the system?
A good diet, high in plant protein.
A great diet, high in plant protein. All right, that's good. What about systemic enzymes?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll tell you, I had Lyme disease 10 years ago, and I was at that time found out with celiac. So I did use systemic enzymes. I love serrapeptase.
Yeah, that's the number one.
I love lumbrokinase. I use those religiously during my time because my fingers swelled up, my knuckles and everything. And so I found the systemic, that's a good point you brought up. I found systemic enzymes, and I had high fibrogen levels, which is what makes the blood thick. So with the systemic enzymes, like serrapeptase and your lumbrokinase, I brought the inflammation down.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. You know, Brenda, we've been having so great a time, and we've run out of time. You know, but just in 30 seconds, just speak to that person who is saying, wow, I didn't know this about probiotic, that they were that important. Give that person a little nudge to do something about it.
Okay, so here's what I would say to that person. Pain is the greatest motivator in life. And you do not want to wait. I don't care what age you are out there, whether you're a young person, a middle-aged person, or, like I said, a baby boomer, you do not want to end up in pain.
Yeah.
You have to do things preventively, Peter, preventively.
Yes.
Probiotics is on the number one list. It's probably within the top three things that you need to take in supplement form to stay out of pain as you get older.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Brenda. And once again, we do have Vital Planet probiotic, all those ones we talked about, 55 and older. The 60 strains of probiotic, you can find them at Better Living Natural Food Store. And if you have any question whatsoever, we encourage you to come by and let's talk about it. Let's show you what we have, and let's point out to you some excellent systemic enzymes. Now, Brenda, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. Now, is there? We do have a follow-up interview coming up in the near future. Yeah, we do have, and I'm going to keep bringing you back until you get tired of us in West Tennessee. Yeah, it's very educational, and you make it so simple. You give the details that some of the buzzwords and the, you know, that we hear out there. Probiotic is your 70% of your immune system. You just broke that down. You just made that a whole lot clearer to our listeners. So, we'd like to say to our listeners, we thank you and we appreciate you joining us. And you can join us next week at the same time as we present more life-changing interviews and programs. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Peter. You have a good weekend.
Thanks, Brenda.
listening to Better Living with Peter Lewis. Feel free to email us at betterliving@chenbl.com and we can answer your question on the air. Information shared in this program is for educational purposes only. It is not intended for diagnosis, treatment, or cure of any disease. This program has been sponsored by the Better Living Health Food Store of Ohio 70 West in Camden. Tune in every Wednesday morning at 11:20 for Better Living with Peter Lewis. You can also contact 731-279-0350 for more